Up next on Downtown, we are joined by Tony-nominated actor, talented playwright whose work includes Almost Maine. We count him as a Maine native. He grew up in Presque Isle, and he's participating in the upcoming Word Festival, the Blue Hill Literary Arts Festival that gets underway on October 23rd. We are pleased to be joined this afternoon by the talented John Cariani. Thanks so much for being with us today.
Oh, nice to meet you on the phone.
I'm very jealous because my wife got to see you on Broadway in Something's Rotten, but I didn't get invited along for that trip.
Oh, you didn't?
No, she went with her mother, which I understand, but, you know.
That's awesome. It was the most fun show I've ever been in.
Well, I'll bet it was. I'm a high school drama director. One of our most fun shows was doing Almost Maine, which is pretty much a perfect show.
Well, thank you. What made you say that?
Well, I just think it's so wonderfully written and so adaptable to younger actors like we use, and I've seen it three or four different productions of it through the years, and it's I almost want to say, and I say this as a director, it's almost director proof.
Yeah, I think so. And it's like you can be anything and be in that play. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's basically a bunch of love stories for not hot people. That's what I like to tell people.
Are you surprised? Because it's set in Maine, and obviously the themes are universal, but are you surprised at the incredible appeal it's had? I mean, it's been one of the most performed plays in the American stage for the last decade now.
Well, I learned something interesting from, I don't know who told me this, but basically, if you think about American drama, the middle of the 20th century, early, like the 30s, 40s, 50s, there was a lot of American drama focused on rural America and celebrated rural America, like Our Town. That's the 30s. Most Happy Fellas, a musical. Lillian Hellman plays were set in southern places, not necessarily urban. Tennessee Williams celebrated the South, which we don't think of as urban necessarily. And rural America has fallen out of favor with the elites in this country. So the people who make art, the people who like to find culture. And someone pointed out that there aren't any plays about working class rural Americans anywhere to be found. And they think I filled the void, honestly. And Almost Maine is a bunch of love stories for ordinary working class people, people who work on farms, people who work in woodchip mills, people who, have heating and cooling businesses. You don't see those people on American stages. You don't see those people on TV. And they're multidimensional people. You know what I mean? They're real people dealing with love. And so I wish I could remember who pointed this out to me. I think it might be a high school teacher friend of mine. But that really kind of hit me. And that seems to be, they always say when you fill a void, you get success. And I didn't know I was filling a void, but that's kind of what happened, I think.
Well, you were doing drama in high school up at Presque Isle. And I was trying to think back. Was Dan Ladner the drama director when you were there?
Dan Ladner was there the first year I was there, and then he retired. And Barb Frick took over. And she's now Barb Frick Ladner because they got married years after she took over the program from him. But so my freshman year was with Mr. Ladner, and then my subsequent 3 years were with Miss Frick. And they were the two biggest influences, I guess I would say, on my... they introduced me to plays. They introduced me to drama. I had done scene musicals, but they were the people who introduced me to plays, and I just fell in love with plays. And also, Glenna Smith, who recently passed away, she's one of Maine's favorite people, favorite daughters, I guess you would say. She assisted both of those teachers, and she's one of the biggest influences on me, too, as a creative person.
Well, so you can certainly speak to this, and I push this every opportunity I get as a high school teacher and drama director, the importance of arts education in our schools, and whether you go on to be a successful actor and playwright or whatever it is you do, the lessons that you learn in doing the arts in high school are lessons that stay with you for life.
Absolutely, because if you're doing a play, it's interdisciplinary, because you have to learn the history of the play that you're doing. You have to learn the story of, the history of the author, perhaps, like the biography of the author. You have to learn about the time the play was written. You have to learn about the context in which the play was written. You have to do all that research before you can even begin the task of presenting the play as an entertainment. So I think that's been one of the nice things about Almost Maine, is it introduces people to rural people in a way that they're not used to meeting rural people. You know, most rural people are defined as supporters of a certain political party, or they're dealing with, you know, a drug addiction, or they're dealing with poverty, or they're dealing with lack of education, or just lack in general. And all those things might be true in some way, but you also have lots of joy and rich lives are lived in rural places. And I feel like it's important for people to remind people of that. Just because life is hard doesn't mean it's joyless.
I also appreciate in the author's notes, as I recall from Almost Maine, that you're pretty direct in saying that these people should not talk like lobstermen. You're a long way from the coast.
Yeah, because I've learned that nobody knows anything about Maine. Everybody thinks of Maine, and they think of the coast, and they think of lobsters, and that's all. And so the play premiered off Broadway in 2006, and the first time it was done professionally after the off-Broadway production was in Boston in 2007, and I realized, oh my gosh, the people in this production, the people who made this production, they did a lovely job, but they didn't seem to understand that Northern Maine is not coastal Maine. And so I was able to, before the script got published, I was able to kind of guide people and educate them. And I feel like I'm always educating people about, no, most of Maine is far from the ocean. Most Northern Mainers don't have lobster. You know what I mean?
I always enjoyed Last Gasp. I've had a chance to see that a couple of times through the years, and it's a different take on those folks.
I call Almost Maine my love letter to Northern Maine, and Last Gasp is more of like a more realistic look at Northern Maine and how it can be difficult for some people.
It has some challenges inherent in living in that part of the world. We know that.
Absolutely.
We're talking with John Cariani here on Downtown. We want to get to what you're doing as part of the Word Festival, the wonderful annual event that Blue Hill folks put on, their literary arts festival every year. All, of course, virtual this year due to what's going on in the world, but you'll be doing an online playwriting workshop. What's the biggest challenge, John, for aspiring playwrights?
Gosh, you know, if you're from a place where you don't get to see theater, like a rural place, then you just don't know what the art form is because you don't get to experience it that often. I mean, people now can experience television because of the streaming services available. We all have access to high quality television. Granted, if you can afford it, because you have to pay for the streaming service, but it is available for a reasonable fee. I feel like plays are different because plays are, you know, they're usually done in high schools, universities, colleges. That's where most theater actually still lives. All the old plays live there, not in professional theater companies because the casts are too big. The old plays had big casts, and it's hard for professional theater companies to be able to afford to pay such big casts. But I think the challenge I've learned is that people just don't know the form and how it works. And so that's kind of what I'll be focusing on, like teaching people how to think. How do you think in terms of theater? And the thing I always like to tell people is that the difference between theater, a play, and a television show or a movie is that you can smell a play, because if someone cooks something on stage, you can smell it. And you could never smell that if you were watching a television show or a movie. And the other thing I like to say is that a play can be disrupted by an audience member. Someone can run up and disrupt the play. That can't happen because in a movie or a TV show, because there's a screen involved, and also time, because the movie was made a long time ago, or the television show was made a long time ago, and now you're experiencing it. So that's kind of how I like to get people to start thinking about it.
Now, how does being a writer inform your acting?
It doesn't really. When I'm in a play, I don't think about the writing. I just think about being an actor. And your job as an actor is to serve the play and serve the process. And so I just kind of turn that off. People ask me that all the time. I just turn it off and I'm an actor, you know? And then when I'm a writer again, one thing I will notice, though, is that as a writer, I forget how hard it is to be an actor. So as soon as I move to the other side of the table where the director is as a writer and I'm watching the actors, I have to admit I'm embarrassed at how impatient I am with actors sometimes, because I'll give them new pages. If I'm working on a play and I give them new pages to incorporate, I have no patience for how long it takes for them to learn them. Isn't that stupid? I should know that, but I do forget. It's very funny. I think the hardest part, though, is being an actor, because the actors are the athletes. Like, they're the ones who are actually out there executing, you know what I mean, in real time, in front of an audience. And I feel like people just don't realize acting's the hardest part. Writing's hard. Directing's hard. All the tech elements, it's difficult to put all that stuff together, but I think acting is the hardest part.
So as an actor, does that make it a little bit easier with the show you've written to walk away, to take a step back a little bit and let those characters go free and put them into the hands of the cast?
Yeah, because, you know, when I've written something, I love this idea. I love this idea that actors are like the equivalent of novelists in the theater, because they fill in the psychology and the physical presence. Like, they fill in everything that I can't fill in as a writer. They fill in the emotional landscape. And that's what's really interesting, you know, because good actors can dimensionalize words on a page, and that collaboration is exciting because they'll bring ideas and insights that I never imagined to my work, and that's what really starts to fill it up and flesh it out and make it feel like you're watching real people, you know?
Well, these are tough times for actors and all performers, really. Broadway looks like going to be dark, at least until spring. What's the future of theater, and how does live theater survive this pandemic and come back strong?
Well, I think live theater is dead during the pandemic, because there are very few places right now where we can go see theater. I know that Portland Stage Company in Portland, Maine is producing the first play done by professional actors. They're doing Tally's Folly.
I saw that.
Portland Stage Company. And it's two of my friends, Dave Mason and Kathy McCafferty, who have been in several productions of Almost Maine. They actually met doing a production of Almost Maine, but they're doing like socially distant theater, you call it. Like, they're a married couple, so they're able to rehearse together. And then the audience will be spaced out in the theater in such a way that it's safe. So that, I think, is the first professional play being done in the country. It's not a solo show or a musical. It's the first professional play being done. But I think theater on Zoom doesn't exist, because it's a screen is dividing the audience from the performers.
Right.
So I think theater is a live event where all the bodies are in the room together. I think it's just on hiatus. And I think people are going to be hungry for it when we come back. People are going to be so hungry to see live music, and they're going to be hungry to see stories told live in front of them. I think it's going to be a glorious day when we all get to go back. But I was in a show called Carolina Change on Broadway. We were supposed to do our first preview on March 13th. And on March 12th, we were sent home. We didn't get to do our first preview. So we're supposed to come back next year. Some people say by spring. Others are saying it's going to be a little bit later. But I think when we do come back, it's just going to be a really exciting time, because we're all going to have missed coming together and listening to a story communally, you know, instead of in the comfort of our own homes.
You did one of my favorite shows and played one of my favorite parts at the Kennedy Center last year. I also, at a much lower level, because it was just community theater, but I also played Marcellus Washburn. Do you want to do a duet on Shapoopy?
We totally could.
I see you also worked with a great friend of our show a number of years ago on an independent film. What was it like working with our friend Ed Asner?
Oh, that was one of my favorite experiences ever. He's just such a smart guy, and he's done so much in his career. It was really scary at first, because it's scary to meet people who are so well known and so good at what they do. But he was just an actor going to work, trying to make a movie every day, you know? And I loved every second of working with him. I loved working on that movie. He's such a great actor and such an incredible, he's a passionate activist. And it's just neat to meet someone who is so committed to his craft, and also so committed using his platform to, I guess, change the world, is what I would say. And quite a guy.
Absolutely. John Cariani will be part of the Word Festival going on October 23rd. To the 28th, you can go to wordfestival.org for more information, or call them at 374-5632. John, I've enjoyed your work for many, many years. Can't wait to see you back on stage. And this time, I go with my wife, and my mother-in-law stays home.
Okay, that sounds good. That's a good idea.
John, thank you so much, and we wish you well, and thanks so much for being with us today.
Thanks for having me, and I hope your fall's going okay.
John Cariani with us here on Downtown. Again, for more information on the Word Festival, Go to wordfestival.org or give them a call at 374-5632.